Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming to Cincinnati or Mason. So I am looking forward to having a wonderful morning with everyone. We are going to be covering some information that you really, really need to have. And that's why Vina put me on today at the beginning of the event, because what we're going to be talking about is finding all the deals that you need for your real estate investing business. And without the leads and without the deals, everything else you would learn here becomes a moot point, doesn't it? Yes?
Yes.
All right, so that's what we're going to be doing this morning. And then, of course, you know I brought some tools for you, right?
Yes.
Okay, so hang with me all the way to the end, because the other thing I'm also going to do is I'm going to make an amazing offer where I'm going to tell you how to own and implement my system at no cost to you whatsoever. Is that okay?
Yes?
All right, cool. All right, so let me tell you a little bit about how I got started in real estate. How many folks have never heard me speak anywhere before? Wow, brand new group, wonderful. I like it. Okay, so let me tell you just a little bit about myself. I don't want to take a lot of time away from what we're going to be covering. I am from the west coast of Florida. We drove up here this trip. That was long. And I spent about 20 years in the banking and the barter industries. I was working 60, 80 hours a week. I was putting about 100,000 miles a year on my vehicle. You know what that does to a car really quickly? At the same point in time, my husband was working for a national food distribution company, and he worked in what they called the freezer section. And I don't care how many big bulky suits they give you, the man was sick more than he was well. And so we knew that there had to be something better out there. We just didn't know what that thing was going to be. And one night I was up late watching one of those late night infomercials on how to buy houses with no money down. And I thought, yeah, wouldn't it be cool if that really worked? So I called one of my customers who actually happened to be the person who ran our real estate club meeting in Tampa, Florida. And I said, hey, what do you think about this real estate investing stuff? Does it really work? And he said, of course it does. Come to one of our meetings and make that determination for yourself. And so we started going to some meetings, and we started going to some seminars, and we started buying some books and tapes and programs and putting them on a shelf and putting them on the shelf, putting them on the shelf, never to be seen again. How many folks have been to that seminar? So after about a year, we had spent over $13,000 on books, tapes, and programs, and we had done absolutely zippo. So I told my husband, I said, we are going to buy one darn house because I want my money back. And so what we ended up doing, one thing that we had learned was that if you could get a seller to contact you first, you were much more likely to make a better deal. And that's kind of what got us started with implementing direct mail marketing, which is really still my very favorite way to find some really awesome deals. And so we started targeting specific kinds of sellers that we thought were much more likely to contact us. And literally on Friday night, I mean, we didn't have a lot of money to spend, and on Friday night, it came down to, are we buying pizza or are we buying a roll of stamps? I mean, that's where it was. Back in those days, it was the rolls of stamps. Today, it's pizza. So in the midst of all of that, a seller calls us on the phone, and he says, hey, I've got this house. I'll deed it to you. I've got the key sitting right here. Just take it. Is that the kind of seller you want to work with?
Yes.
Absolutely. So as you go along in your real estate investing business, you will start naming your houses, and this was the haunted house, because that's how it looked when we got it. It was a divorce situation. He took off, she took off. House had been sitting for over a year and had not sold. They had it listed with a realtor, and it had not sold. The house was on 6 acres. And it kind of looked like that. And so the first thing that we ended up doing, so we ended up getting with the seller, and the seller says, please take this house off my hands. And I had no idea at all how to do a subject to. And so he basically just wanted to give us the house for the balance of the mortgage. House was worth $337,000. His mortgage was $197,000. So we knew we had a deal. We just didn't know what to do with it. So what we ended up doing, we took a piece of yellow legal paper and we wrote down what we intended to do, that he was going to deed it to us for the balance of the mortgage, we would continue making the mortgage payments, and eventually we would sell the house and pay off his mortgage, and we wrote all of that down on a piece of paper. And I still had no idea what to do with it. And so I went back to my real estate club, and I found somebody who knew how to do subject twos, and we partnered on this deal. So I ended up paying him $10,000 for the honor of learning how to do a subject two. So you are in the best place in the world, and you should be networking while you're here this weekend and meeting people and you know, figuring some things out and get people to help you if you haven't done very many deals yet. So anyway, we took this property subject two. We ended up getting a landscape company to come out, and they brought like the bush hogs and they cleaned it all up and they got it looking really pretty. And then on the inside, they cleaned the house from top to bottom. So we got it looking really nice. It needed about $30,000, $35,000 in rehab, which we chose not to do because we didn't really know how. And so we ended up selling this house using another technique we had learned called a round robin auction. Okay, write that down, round robin auction. And we still use that technique today sometimes to sell houses. So we had this round robin auction, and we showed the house 57 times in one weekend, and we ended up selling the home for $275,000 without doing any rehab to it at all. And when everything was said and done, our check was $51,635. And that's after the 10 I paid to the other investor. Is that pretty cool? Yes?
Yes.
So at that point in time, I was getting pretty excited. So I had one of those bosses who was teasing me relentlessly. Have you bought anything yet? Huh? Have you sold anything yet? Huh? Because he knew that I was doing real estate investing on the side. So I took a copy of the check to work the next day, and I said, hey, Alan, look what I did. And he said, hey, you're fired.
What?
And that's how I got into real estate investing full time. Seriously, he was jealous. Anyway, so I got fired. That was fine. So I'm continuing to do the real estate investing business. My husband is still working his job. And about 2 or 3 weeks later, with the responses that we were getting from the direct mail and the other marketing that we had started to implement, I couldn't do it by myself anymore. Just couldn't do it. So about 3 weeks later, I called my husband at work and I said, honey, I need you to do me a big favor today. And he said, what? I said, quit. He said, are you serious? I said, absolutely. Give your 2-week notice. I'm done. I can't do this. And so he gave his 2-week notice, and that's how we got started in the real estate investing business. We've been in the real estate investing business for 20 plus years now. Time goes really, really quickly. Couple pieces of advice I would give you. Number one, do not let all the gloomsayers and all of that pull you away from your dream. All right? You just go forward and you do it and you do it and you do it. The market is changing. The market has been changing. I want you to kind of learn your market. So in our particular, so the market's changing. The interest rates are going up. There are more sellers. There are more expired listings now. We're going to talk about that today. So your market is kind of changing. And I want you to take advantage of that. You need to jump in with both feet, and you need to get started and get moving. Put down the newspaper, get off of Facebook, you know, all of those things, and concentrate on what you're doing with your business. All right. So why should you develop a marketing strategy in the first place? Well, number one, to get highly motivated sellers and lenders contacting you first. How would you like to have a lender call you on the phone and say, hey, how come you're not borrowing money from me? Would that be okay? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about that today, too. Buy properties no one knows are for sale, including the sellers. These are sellers who have a problem they need to solve. They just have no idea how to do that until they're contacted by you. Number three, put systems in place that are going to net profitable deals for you and for your family. The other piece of advice that I would like to give you is figure out what your goals and what your dreams are. Why do you get up in the morning and why do you want to continue the real estate investing business? What is it that knocks your socks off that's going to make you move forward and get it done? And what we basically did back in the beginning, we had this, you know, big piece of poster board, and we wrote what our goals were on that piece of poster board. And we posted and put them up on the wall so we could see them every single day. And I have six grandkids at this point in time. I was able to be at the hospital for the birth of everybody. I got to stay at the mom's for another week or so, you know, to help them out and get started and all of that. No boss to say, hey, can I take time off and all of that kind of nonsense. There are charities that we like to work with. We work heavily with a couple of food banks. So we do a lot there, and that's another reason that we like to get up in the morning. We've been able to travel and do stuff that we never dreamed of. And so these are all, you know, good reasons. The other thing, too, is that I hit my 64th birthday 3 days ago. Yeah. And it's a turning point. It really is. You know, I wish we had done a whole lot more, to be perfectly honest with you. If you are younger than I am and you have the opportunity to travel and do stuff with your kids and do stuff with your grandkids, get out there and do it. Okay, so that's just my other motherly piece of advice for you today. You know, just this is another really good reason for you to get your real estate business structured, moving forward, and start really doing some deals to give you the breathing room to do the things that you want to do. Fill your pipeline with new deals every single day. Okay? So what is a motivated seller? Okay, so I know we have some experienced people, and I know we have some newbies in the room, so we're just going to cover this quickly. Someone who needs to sell a home no matter what condition it's in. Someone who's willing to sell you their home at a lower negotiated price. Someone who is willing to sell on terms. Someone who's willing to make concessions. When we bought our home, my husband ended up getting the guy to do an additional $4,000 in repairs to the home. Someone who's willing to deed you the home for the balance of the mortgage. Those are my favorites. Okay? And someone who contacts you first. All right? That's real important, because if the seller contacts you first, you're much more likely to make a better deal. So why direct mail marketing? Well, number one, you can cultivate the exact type of deal that you are looking for in your area. And do me a favor, please put the phones away. Can you guys put your phones away, please? They were supposed to tell you that earlier. Thank you. Control the number of pieces that are going out, when they go out, and specifically to whom they are targeted. Use a response mechanism within the body of the letter so the seller gives you all the information that you need. Nobody does this but me. This is the crux of direct mail marketing. There's a response mechanism in the body of my letter that tells that seller exactly what I need from them, what information, and so forth. Does that make sense? So when the deal hits my desk, it's already pre-screened. So let me give you an example, and I should have brought it to show you. I got a response from a seller 2 weeks ago. Came in a 9.5 by 11 clasp envelope. In that envelope was a copy of his deed, which I did not ask him for. In that envelope was a plat map, which I also did not ask him for. In that envelope was a two-page letter telling me every single thing about that property since his grandfather built it. And in that envelope were a half a dozen photographs of the property inside and out. Is this the motivated seller that you want to work with? Yes? That's about how 90% of my responses come in. Why do you think that might be? Because I told the seller what I wanted them to do. And if you're a newbie and you're just getting started, you know, or you have new people coming into your organization, it's really good when the response is on your desk and you have most of the information that you already need to make the deal. I'll also tell you that 90% of the sellers that I work with do not pick up a phone and call me. They do not pick up a phone and call us. They will respond to us either by mail or email, and we still have a few that respond to us by fax. Why do you think that is? Because I told them to. Does this make sense, guys? Yes?
Yes.
Absolutely. So that's why we do a lot of deals with direct mail marketing. Learn your demographic. I want to talk about this for a minute. Figure out what your demographic is wherever you live. So here's an example. I'm in Florida. I am in the geriatric capital of the world. And I can say that now because I'm getting up there. So for me, we do a lot of estate. We do a lot of probate properties. We do a lot of snowbird properties. You know, they bought the property as a vacation home. Maybe they've been coming for the last 10 years and now they're done and they're staying wherever they were. You know, they don't want to make that trip anymore. So those are a lot of the kind of deals that I do. Now, interestingly, our market just took a major left turn. And I'm actually not sitting back, but watching what's going to go on, because we just had a major hurricane come through. Ian was a master of destruction where we live. And so a lot of folks who came running to Florida during the pandemic are now running someplace else. Seriously, they're just like turning. And houses are going on the market, as is condition, water damage, stuff like that. So you're starting to see more deals that are starting to come up. And then the other part of it is people are relocating from one part of the state to another part of the state. So our market's gotten really interesting in the last 60 days. So you need to learn your demographic. Figure out what it is that you have a lot of wherever it is that you might live. Do you have vacation homes? Do you have, you know, people that are being transferred because of jobs? Are you near colleges, things like that? Are you near military base? That's huge. We're going to talk about that today, too. So figure out what that demographic is, and that's the first clue that you're going to have as to which direct mail campaigns you're going to start to implement wherever it is that you live. So be thinking about that as we're talking today. All right, plan your budget. That's the question I always get. How much money do I need to get started? Well, number one, you always want to have between 3 and 5 marketing techniques in place at all times. And we'll be talking about some cool free stuff too, which is really great. Your upfront investment should be between $350 and $500. Now, guys, think about this. You're starting a business. Actually, before I go any further, let me just get kind of a feel of my room. How many folks have not done your first deal yet? Wow. All right, so I am talking to the right group. How many folks have been in the real estate investing business like for 5 years or more? Good. So you folks need to grow your business and start getting more sellers coming in and start getting more deals made. Perfect. Okay, great. Thank you. All right, so your upfront investment should be like business cards, signage. Apparel is wonderful, hats and t-shirts. Don't go to Walmart, don't go to Home Depot if you're wearing your t-shirt, if you plan on getting in and out of the store quickly, because it doesn't happen. Vehicle signage, and then of course, direct mail. You're going to mix the shotgun and the targeted approach. So what I mean by that is a targeted approach is going to be your direct mail. You're aiming at a very specific type of seller with your message. Shotgun is where you're reaching a big part of your marketplace and hoping that there are some folks that need to sell houses. And you're going to intermix both of those, okay? Calling on ads and FSBOs. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. But we do that. We don't do it anymore. We have people who do that for us who call on the FSBOs and on, for sale by owner, for rent by owner, properties like that. Now, I will tell you that when we start working together today, I do have a company who's a resource for us who will send you the FSBOs in your area every day. And I have that in place, so that helps a lot too. You'll run ads on Craigslist and Facebook. That's free. Okay. Track your marketing. Figure out what's working the best for you. Which direct mail campaigns are working the best? What signage is working the best? What flyers, whatever that might be. And then you're going to be moving your monies toward the things that are bringing you a higher return. Does that make sense? Yes?
Yes.
Okay, cool. And then your marketing is going to grow with your business. So every time you close a deal, you're going to take a little bit of money from those profits and put it back in your marketing in order to continue to grow your business. All right. Does that make sense? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. We still do that. 20 years later, we still do that. And then quantity versus quality. So my example on that would be the direct mail campaigns, the way that I do them. That's a quality type of marketing lead. If you are hiring someone to make a whole bunch of phone calls and text a whole bunch of people, boy, are you throwing your money down the tubes. Okay, so that's not such a great idea. So quantity versus quality. And then quantity also, like if you're doing like, you know, a mass mailing, or if you're doing a like a bunch of flyers, things like that. That would be a quantity type of marketing. So you're going to kind of just keep an eye on what you're doing. All right. Let's talk about targeted prospects. There are 15 specific types of sellers that I like to work with, and this is where I want to be you to be thinking about your demographic. Number one, out-of-state owners. Okay, these are the folks who own a home in the city or county that you live in, but they don't live there full time. They live somewhere else. So like in Florida, we have a lot of that. About 50% of our demographic lives somewhere else part of the time. And right about November and December, they're all coming, and we can tell the difference big time. So out-of-state owners are really, really good leads for you. Quitclaim deeds. These are like where I get a lot of my estate and probate properties. Now, a quitclaim deed is where a property transfers from one person to another without a cash transaction taking place. Like the home isn't being sold, it's being moved. So an example would be mom or dad has to be moved into a nursing home or an assisted living, and they can't show the home as an asset, so they will quitclaim it to the adult child. Two folks get married. He has a home, she's got a home. So they will quit claim and put each other on title of those homes, usually. Okay, now those are really good deals because sometimes they want to sell one or both of them and buy one of their very own. So that these are some things that a lot of your competitors aren't thinking about. Are these a couple of good ideas, yes?
Yes.
Okay. So quit claim deeds are a really, really good source of leads for you. For those of you who don't know what that looks like on a list, a quitclaim deed is going to be either $0, $10, or $100 in the amount of the sale, in the sale amount column, okay? And the reason for that is because the home is moving via quitclaim deed, so there's not an actual sale taking place, all right? It's nice to have a little extra time to share a little more of this stuff. This is cool. Number three, farming areas by zip code. There are two particular zip code ranges that I like to work with. Number one are luxury properties. Because folks, luxury properties just mean bigger paychecks. Okay, don't be afraid of them. Even if you're just starting out, don't be afraid of those luxury properties. Okay, I like bigger paychecks. The other zip code range that we like to market to are those good middle income areas. So, because these are where you're going to be able to wholesale a property quickly, you're going to be able to retail a property quickly, you're going to be able to lease option it or rent it or do whatever you would like to do. So I like to do the good middle income areas and then those luxury properties with the zip code mailer. Multifamily dwellings, for those of you who like long-term income. Now, the list broker that we work with can provide the list for you based on the number of units per building that you're looking for. So you can really quantify that list into exactly what you need. So for example, if you're looking for duplexes, triplexes, quads, multifamily, small apartment, big apartments, you can customize that list using specific criteria to bring you the exact kind of deals you're looking for in your business. So that's pretty cool. Number five, hard to find sellers, vacant and abandoned properties. How many folks are actively looking for vacant properties every time you're out? Good. Excellent. That's perfect. These are free leads, folks. Every time you go somewhere, take a different route to get there. And then take a picture of that property and write down the address so that you can go back and find that property, find the owner of that property. And I will tell you right now, the more difficult it is for you to find the owner of a vacant house, the better a deal you're going to make. And once we start working together today, I also have skip trace companies. And I tell you what, I don't know how they do it so fast. I had a seller that I was trying to hunt down, and it looked like it was going to be a really great deal, and I couldn't find her. So I called the skip tracer. He ran it for me. In 15 minutes, he had her phone number. I was like, how do you do that? So skip tracing is a really good way to find the owners of these vacant houses. Number six, pre-foreclosures. How many folks are working the pre-foreclosure market at this point? Not many. How many folks like to work the pre-foreclosure market and find the deals that none of your fellow investors know anything about? Okay, you see, that's what I'm all about. We're going to be talking a lot about that. I want you to do the things that your fellow investors and competitors will not. So here's what I'm talking about. This is actually a byproduct of the estate and probates. Here's what happens. Generally speaking, when a person dies, the mortgage company does not initially file Liz Pendens or notice of default because they know their borrower is dead. So now you have a home that's gone to probate or it's been deeded to an heir with a mortgage that is not in their name. Do you not think these are an ideal situation for a short sale? Yes or yes? Absolutely. These are good deals, folks. I had a property that I found, it was actually a vacant property, and it was in a really, really high-end neighborhood, and it was near another property that we were looking to buy. And as I was driving out of a subdivision, I saw this house. It was like, this is odd, because this is like a really yucky house in a high-end neighborhood. So I took pictures of the house, and I did the research when I got home, ended up having to call the skip tracer. He found her phone number. She was in Michigan. House is in Florida. I called her on the phone and I said, hey, I drove by your house and I noticed that it was vacant. Is it something that you're interested in selling? And she said, frankly, I don't care if it falls down. She goes, it was my father's house. Couldn't care less. Do whatever you want to with it. Okay. She deeded it to us for the balance of the mortgage. We did all the proper paperwork. We ended up contacting the bank to do the short sale. A year and a half later, they never filed Liz Pendens or notice default on this guy. They're out there, folks. And we're actually in the middle of that short sale right now. So that's something that we're working on now. Okay, so these deals are out there. All right. Number seven, military transfers. How many folks live in a state where there are military bases? Fabulous. This is a good one. Here's what happened. I actually learned this technique when my son was stationed in Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. My son is a Marine. And we went up there, and the kids were expecting a baby, and so we took our big vehicle, and we loaded it up with all the baby goods, and the vehicle was wrapped, like we buy houses and all that good stuff. And so we were out driving on base, and my son's like, that's the commissary, and that's where we shoot the guns, and all of that, you know, and we're driving around on base. And we had turned the phones off. We decided to completely ignore them because we wanted to spend some time with the kids. And so we get back to Florida, and there are three calls from gentlemen who had seen our vehicle on base and had homes that they needed to get sold pronto. Is this good stuff? Yes? So let me tell you what happens. Military woos these men and women in, tells them they're going to be stationed somewhere, 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, whatever that might be. They bring their family, they use their VA certificate, they buy a home off base, they get all moved in, they get all comfy, and 6 months later, they get transferred somewhere else. Now they have a home and a mortgage that they neither want nor need, and they are stuck between a rock and a hard place because they can't afford to write a whole nother check for closing costs and realtor fees, and they're stuck. These are an ideal situation for you to get a home deeded to you for the balance of the mortgage. Now, this is where it gets really cool. These are an ideal situation for you to lease a home because you're going to have to let them grow some equity, right? Yes. So these are an ideal situation for you to simply rent or lease option a home. Now, I will tell you that working with the military is like working with Section 8 on steroids. Here's what happens. Military will take the money out of their paycheck for your rent biweekly when they get paid, and they deposit the money into your account directly, the military, not the person. If that person damages your home, guess who they have to answer to? Their superior officer, not you. Is this good stuff? Yes? I still own homes in Jacksonville, North Carolina, that I haven't seen in a year or two. But what I do see are government deposits going into our checking account every single month. Is this good stuff? Yes?
Yes.
And you are doing a public service. Because when that person deeds the property to you, and you are a person of integrity and do what you say you're going to do, and you keep those mortgage payments up on that particular on that property, you are helping that person increase their credit score. So you're doing a public service. The very first deal we ever did, which was really kind of funny, my son was in the military, so we moved him and his wife into the first home. Beautiful four-bedroom home on an acre of land, really, really nice home. And so he stayed in that home for like a year and a half, and then he got transferred to Japan. So that's what I'm saying, you know, that's what they do. So he got transferred to Japan, and now we had the home back. And right at that point, the fella who deeded us the home, he'd been transferred to 29 Palms in California. Now he was being transferred back to North Carolina and wanted to know if he could buy his house back. And yeah, and so the military ended up paying his down payment to move back into his house. Is that cool? Working with the military is great. I love it. Okay, so that's, for those of you who live in military areas, this is good stuff. Really, really good stuff. And so we have very specific direct mail campaigns that we use. You can run ads in the military newspaper. You can put signage out around the base, around that area. These are just a couple of other ways for you to find these deals. So that was completely by accident, but that has become another part of what we do. Number 8, getting the deed. Once again, when you can find the deals where the person is willing to deed you the home for the balance of the mortgage, once again, you don't have to worry about where your money is coming from. And on these military deals, you don't have to worry about where the money is coming from to pay for the house because they're deeding it to you. All right. Number 9, finding your dream home. This was a direct mail campaign that we developed to find the home that we currently live in. When we bought our home, we got $80,000 of equity, and my husband got the seller to do an additional $4,000 worth of work to the property before we bought it. And when we bought our property, the other piece of advice that I could give you is don't ever think that you know what your seller is thinking, because you don't. Okay, so here's an example. So they responded to the direct mail campaign. We went over, we looked at the house, and this was going to be for us. And we look at the house, and it's like, this is the one. Did you ever walk in a house and get that feeling?
Yep.
Don't let your seller know that. Do not let your seller know that. So we walk in the house, and it's like, this is the one. So it's a husband, a wife, her mom, and 5 kids that are living in the home. A couple of the kids had gone off to college. Overall, the house was in pretty good condition. It needed some rehab when we bought it. But overall, it was in pretty good condition. And so on the day that we met to look at the house, it's the husband, the wife, and her mom that are there. And so, you know, I'm trying to make that connection with the seller. I was like, wow, what a lovely home. Why would you want to sell? And hubby pipes out and goes, if I don't get rid of my mother-in-law, I'm going to scream. She's standing right there. We changed the subject quickly. And we ended up buying that house. And we still live in that house today. So finding your dream home is a really good one. Now, the criteria for this particular direct mail campaign is really, really awesome. So by the subdivision, by the neighborhood, how many bedrooms, how many baths, how much land, whether or not it's got a swimming pool. So these are criteria specific to this particular list. So not only will you find a home for yourself, hopefully, but this is also a really good lead into those luxury properties. Okay, so this is another really good mail campaign. Number 10, attorneys. How many folks are working with attorneys to bring you deals? One, two, wow. That's more than I ever get in a room. Folks, if you're not working with attorneys, you need to be. What we did was we developed a direct mail campaign specifically targeting certain kinds of attorneys who are much more likely to want to work with us. We mail out 30 or 40 pieces at a time, otherwise it gets cumbersome. So what we do, we mail it out once, 2 weeks later we mail it out again, 2 weeks after that we follow up with any of the attorneys who haven't already contacted us. So the first time I did this mailing, like 15 years ago, we created relationships with four attorneys who still bring us deals today, 15 years later. All right? So attorneys are really good at bringing you deals. Now, the other thing that's really cool is if you are a person of integrity and you do what you say that you are going to do, these attorneys will call you first when they have a client come in who needs to sell a property quickly, no matter what condition it's in order for the attorney to liquidate assets. So that's general. So it'll be like, it'll be an estate, it'll be a divorce usually, something like that, where they need to get it sold quickly. The other thing that's really cool about working with attorneys is attorneys talk to one another, so you will start getting leads from other attorneys, and that happens. And attorneys know people who have money they need to invest. And so every now and then, it doesn't happen a lot, probably a couple times a year maybe, we'll get a phone call that's like, hey, how come you're not borrowing money from me? Is that a good stuff? Yes? So let me tell you about what happened to me 8 years ago now. So this will be another lesson on why not to burn a bridge. 8 years ago, I got one of those phone calls. Hey, how come you're not borrowing money from me? And it was like, well, let's set up lunch and let's figure out how come you're not lending money to me. So we set up a lunchtime and we meet at the restaurant and he walks in and he goes, hey, I know you. And I went, hey, I know you. This was an attorney that I worked with 30 years ago. I was the liaison between the banks and the courts. And of course, my name was different then. My surname was different. So he didn't know who I was when he called me. So 30 years ago, I was a liaison between the banks and the courts. And I did all the research and I testified on behalf of the banks with regard to like bad check, kiting cases, stuff like that. At that point in time, he was the district attorney who was prosecuting those cases. So we worked together like every single day for like 2 years straight. And so then he went on to become a Florida state attorney. And of course, I moved on and then got into real estate investing. And so it's really, really an interesting story because what ended up happening was between himself and a foundation he represents, I ended up with a credit line of $1.5 million. Is that good stuff? Yes? And I get out there and spend that man's money as fast as I can. And every time we pay off a house, he gets all mad and pouty, so we have to have another house in line to buy when we pay him off. So my moral to the story is don't ever burn a bridge because you don't know, like 35 or 40 years later, when it's coming back. So, yeah, and we both laugh. I mean, every time we see each other, it's a giggle, like, you know, here we are 30-some-odd years later. So working with attorneys are a really, really good way for you to find some deals. Attorneys are also working with folks who are coming out of foreclosure. And so these are people who have money for down payments and stuff. So this is another good way. So not only, so your attorney is bringing you deals, and then your attorney is bringing you some lenders, and then your attorney is bringing you tenants and tenant buyers for your properties. Is that good stuff? Yes? Yeah. So when we get started today, the first direct mail campaign I want you to start with is the attorney letter, because that one's really, really good. free and clear properties. These are the properties that folks own free and clear without a mortgage. What that means for me is owner financing or creative financing with those sellers. So once again, I don't have to worry about where my money is coming from to fund those deals. For sale by owner. Okay, those are another really, really good one. Those are some great deals. Senior homeowners, you'll get folks who are moving in with a relative, they're moving out of state, they're moving into a nursing home. A lot of times the homes are not in the best of condition. These are some really, really good leads for you as well. Inherited properties, this is a big one. I get this a lot, and I'll show you a couple of deals. People end up, it's never happened to me, and I wish it would. People inherit properties from people they don't have any idea, like, you know, some uncle that's, you know, like once removed or something. Never happened to me. I actually ended up with a new private lender recently because my nail lady's mom inherited over $1 million from a relative she didn't know she had. So we ended up with a new private lender. So that was kind of cool. Never happens to me, though. And then expired listings. And I'm telling you right now, I was checking the numbers for expired listings. Ohio, Kentucky, Florida. Those numbers are coming up. Texas. Because the interest rates are going up. And if the house isn't like drop dead, perfect, gorgeous, they're not getting sold nearly as quickly. So that's expired listings. How many folks are actively working with a realtor in your business right now? Good. Excellent. You can tell you folks are more trained than a lot of the students that I normally work with, and this is awesome. I'm really glad. There are so many things that realtor should be doing for you, and one of them is to be providing those expired listings. Okay. So those are 15 different direct mail campaigns that we do. Each one has a different letter, different language, different criteria for the lists. And so it gives you a lot of flexibility to decide which direct mail campaigns that you would like to start with first. Does that make sense? Yes? Okay, cool. So I wanted to show you a couple. On the expired listings, we ended up doing one of the biggest deals we have ever done as an expired listing. Where'd my house go? There it is. One of the biggest deals I've ever done came from an expired listing. The very short story is Major League Baseball player, pitcher, shoulder injury, career over. That's like a really short version of the story. And the house is 13,000 square feet, 6 bedrooms, 11 bathrooms, pool, jacuzzi, sauna, guys 2-story game room, ladies 2.5 kitchens. Beautiful, beautiful home. The house had been partied in heartily. It was on the market for over a year and had not sold. It had, in addition to everything else, it had this beautiful family room, stone fireplace, surround sound, doors out to the pool, bar across the back, kegerators, whole 9 yards, carpet, pretty room. You walk in the room and the carpet goes squish, squish, squish. What do you think it was?
Beer.
Absolutely. It was beer. Do you know what beer smells like after 12 months? Smells like cash. Smells just like money. We ended up buying that property for $650,000. She was worth $1.25 million. We did about $80,000 in rehab to it. Same builder that built my house, we came that close to moving in. But we decided that the paycheck was going to be too lucrative, and we really didn't want our kids moving back home. So we did the rehab, and we ended up selling this one for $1 million cash to an out-of-state buyer. Because sometimes enough is just enough. And we walked away from that closing with $169,000 in our pocket. Yeah, so that was a good one. That was a really, really good one. So, beautiful home. And the baseball player gave us all kinds of marketing material. He signed mitts for us. He signed a bat. He signed pictures. So we put together a package for the buyer, and we used that in our marketing. That, you know, the house comes with this whole package of stuff because he was really motivated to sell that house. And then after we bought it, he was real motivated to help us do what we needed to do to get it sold. So really super, super nice guy. Really nice guy. So anyway, so that's one of our really awesome houses. This is another one. This is a little house that we bought. We bought it for $17,500. It's worth about $95,000. And we ended up wholesaling this one for $12,500. We were in the middle, this is in the last five or six months, we were in the middle of a couple of other rehabs, and we just couldn't do all of that at the same time. And this isn't an area that I really don't like to play in. So we ended up wholesaling this deal for $12,500. Here's the actual letter from the seller. "Dear Mr. and Mrs. Kennebrook, I just got your letter about buying my house in Bradenton. How did you know I needed to sell? My uncle left me this house. I don't know why he left me the house. I never even been to Florida, so I never even seen it. All I do know is that I'm not paying the tax bill I just got. Please go by and take a look and make me an offer and take this house off my hands. I'd appreciate it. My phone number is..." This is Glenda. That is freaking... We bought this house. We never had the first conversation with Glenda at all. Is that how you want to buy houses?
Yes.
Okay, let me tell you how this happened. So we got the letter, the response from Glenda. And so we ended up going by the house. We took a look at it. We took a bunch of pictures of it because Glenda had never seen it. We decided what our offer was going to be. We went ahead and we wrote a contract. We sent Glenda the contract, the photographs, a mini credibility kit, which we'll be talking about shortly, and an overnight envelope. And so we sent all of that to Glenda. 5 days later, here comes back the contract from Glenda. All signed, done. So I called the title lady. Her name's Kathy also. And I called Kathy and I said, "Hey, Kathy, I got another deal coming. I'm getting ready to send it over to you." He goes, "Oh, you're talking about Glenda?" I said, "Yeah, how did you know?" She goes, "Oh, she called me." Because I had sent my title company's information with the mini credibility kit that I sent with my response to Glenda. Because Glenda doesn't know us from squat, right? So, and we'll talk about the credibility kit in a little bit. So we sent this mini credibility kit so she could make some phone calls and check us out and make sure we really could close that deal. Does that make sense? Yes?
Yes.
Absolutely. All right. So that's Glenda. And she sent me the nicest thank you letter, too. This is Kelly. The asking price was 2.25. We paid $180 on this one. We did $12,000 of rehab. It didn't need much. We sold it for $248,000. Net profit was $44,000. Is that okay? Yes?
Yes?
Here's Kelly's letter. "My name is Kelly, and I received an interesting letter from you today. Yes, me and my husband are interested in selling, but we want no games. We've been through a lot trying to sell this house. You know realtors..." Ah! She wrote this. I didn't. "We're asking $225,000 for our property, and it's occupied. Yes, there's a mortgage on the property. Approximate amount is $155,000, and the payments are current. There are 2 bedrooms, possible third, being used as an office right now, 1 bath. There is a newly renovated 2-plus garage. We're selling because we want to move closer to family. Please contact us ASAP because we wanted our house sold like yesterday, and if you don't buy it, then we have to go with a realtor as our last resort. Thank you for your time." Is this the seller you want to work with? Absolutely. These are real letters, guys, from real sellers. This is what my life looks like every single day. Is that cool? Yes? Absolutely. This is a little house we closed on 2.5 weeks ago. And when I mean little. It was 740 square feet. It was an adorable deal. We bought it for $58,000. We did a little bit of rehab to it. It got a new roof. Got some updating. We didn't do a lot of updating to this. And so we cleaned carpet, and the inside of the house got painted. The outside got painted. We didn't change out the windows or anything like that. We put this one back on the market, and we sold that for $170,000 three weeks ago. So that's another one. Out-of-state owner, same thing. They were coming down to Florida as snowbirds, and they were like in their late 80s, and they just decided that the trip was just too much for them, and they decided to go ahead and just sell the home. So that's kind of typical what we do. This is another one. This was an expired listing. And this was this is a house we ended up keeping. It was in drop-dead perfect condition. We did nothing to the house at all. Here was the situation. It was an expired listing because her parameters for selling the house were, she is building a new home in another area, and she is waiting on her home to be finished before she can move. But she needs the cash from this house in order to make another payment on that house. So her parameters were, I'll go ahead and sell the house, but I need to stay in the house until my closing takes place. How many end users do you think are going to buy into that deal? Zippo. That was the problem with the home. It's not a problem for me at all. So we ended up buying this home. We paid $158,000 for it. Drop dead perfect, needs nothing, nothing. And she stayed in the house for 3 more months, and she paid $1,000 a month in rent, because we kind of cut her slack because she was a seller and all that good stuff. And then she moved out. She left the house drop dead perfect, really clean, pretty, no problems at all. We moved a tenant from one of our other properties because his family was growing. So we moved him from that property into this property, and he is now paying $1,800 a month rent on this particular property, and the house is pushing off $825 a month in income for us. Sometimes whether or not we keep a house is whether or not mama falls in love with it, and it's going to cash flow okay. This house it's got an earlier architecture, and it is so pretty. It's got wood floors, like nicely done wood floors. Just really, really pretty house. So that's another one. This is Warren. Now, I did this house a year ago, but I bought this for a particular reason. He inherited the property. He lives in Tennessee. So when he inherited the property, there was a tenant in it, and he was getting monthly rent. He's like, oh, this is cool. And so he did that for a while, and then the tenant moved out, and now he's got an empty house in Florida, and he lives in Tennessee. Okay? Some of these inherited ones are really great. And so he had been on our list as an out-of-state owner and the inherited. And so this was his actual letter to us, to Jay and Kathy Kennebrook, Bradenton Real Estate. Hi, Jay and Kathy. I just received your note regarding purchasing real estate in the Bradenton area. I've received a few letters from you over the last year or so I assume you've been in the business of buying houses for a while. The property is a block construction home with the following. 1,000 square feet, 2 bedroom, 1 bath, living room, all that stuff. The address, I can be reached, and there's a phone number if you want to make an offer. I will be in Florida over Thanksgiving holiday. Please let me know if you'd like to see the interior. Thank you, Warren. So this was last year. So Warren is in Florida for Thanksgiving holiday, and I did something I have never, ever, ever, ever done. So we need to get this contract done, and he's only in town like for 2 days. So Thanksgiving morning, when I'm cooking for 13 people, Warren is at my house mashing potatoes, and I am writing a contract. Kid you not, that was for real, because he was only going to be in town for those 2 days. That was it. So anyhow, that's how we got that one. And this one is the monkey house. So told you we name them. So this person ended up getting layered letters so that she ended up getting the divorce, the expired listing, and the out-of-state owner. All right. So this house was worth about $420,000 at that particular time. This is like 6-7 months ago. But I love this deal. And it needed rehab. And so we ended up buying this house for $225,000. So let me tell you the story about this house, because it's really good. You just never know what your sellers are thinking. She got the house in the divorce. She moved to Indiana. This house is sitting empty in Florida, and she's paying a mortgage on it every month. And while she was living in the house, she was raising capuchin monkeys. And so the seller calls us. She called us on the phone. She called us. And she goes, just do something with it. Just take it off my hands. I need to get it sold. I'm done with this. She mails us the keys. Wow. She knows us from nothing. She didn't know me from anything. She mails us the keys. We get the keys. This house is about a half a mile from where I live. We go over there, we walk in the house, open up the door, we walk in. There's all this nasty furniture in there. And there's monkey poop everywhere. So what's monkey poop smell like, folks?
Money.
Exactly. We bought this house for $225,000. We sold it for $420,000. Let me tell you about the closing. So 2 weeks before the closing, she decides that she's coming down to Florida for the closing, and she's bringing the monkeys with her. She has two monkeys that she's bringing with her, Rambo and Ryland. So my title lady calls me, and Kathy says, "You are not having any monkeys in my office." No problem, I'll work it out. So the seller and I decide that she's going to leave the monkeys in the house. We'll go to the closing, close on the house. We'll go back to the house. She gets her monkeys, I get my keys, and everything's wonderful. Best laid plans of mice and men. We get the closing done. I'm shaking, she's shaking, because this is a big paycheck for us, and she really needs to get rid of it. We go back to the house. So she's got these two monkeys. She's got this big Ryder truck in the driveway, and it's got this big like cage in it for the monkeys. And so Ryland is like a baby monkey, and Rambo, well, let's do it this way. Off the ground, he's about that tall. Fangs, ugly, ugly monkey. So we get back to the house, and she gets Rambo, and she puts his leash on, and she brings him out, and she puts him in the cage. Perfect. She goes back in the house to get Ryland. Now, Ryland is a four-month-old monkey, so he's like, ish, like a baby monkey. He's cute, cute. I don't ever want a monkey. So she puts his little diaper on, and she puts his little T-shirt on, and she brings him out, and she puts him in the cage with Rambo. Well, right about now, Rambo's decided he's not having any part of this. Rambo, pew, gone monkey. Out there chugging, running. So this house is about a half a mile from me, and I live like blocks from a major preserve. This monkey makes it to that preserve, she will never see him again. So the seller's son, my husband, and me, chasing this stupid monkey through people's yards, over fences, in and out of pool cages. The monkey can open doors. So finally, the monkey's chugging down a main road, heading for the preserve. And there's a car coming in the other direction, and he's got these big thumper speakers, like boom, 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 right? And he thinks this is the goofiest thing he's ever seen. So he pulls over, and he opens the passenger door, and he's got his iPhone like this. In jumps the monkey. In jumps the seller. You can't make this stuff up, guys. So finally, she gets her monkey back, and I have never been more grateful to see a seller leave. $85,000 later. That was our profit on that. Is that not beautiful? See those beautiful front columns in the front there? Hurricane Ian, they were right there. I have no idea how that happened. I really have no idea how that happened. So, yeah, both of those front columns were sitting in the front yard. But I don't own it anymore, so it's fine.
Monkey poop smell out.
Oh, so, yeah. So we ended up hiring, you know the companies that come out and they do the dead people cleanup? Hazmat cleanup. We hired a hazmat cleanup company. Thank you for that question. Came out and they cleaned it all up before my guys ever went in there to start any of the rehab that we did on that property. We did probably about $50,000 of rehab on that property, and our paycheck on that was $85,000 when we were done. Good question. Thank you. All right. Who's the monkey? That's my husband in the front there. That's Rambo. Told you he was ugly. All right, so let's talk about results from direct mail campaigns. This is one direct mail campaign that we did. 2,500 letters, about 200 letters per month. Is that okay? Okay. 10 o'clock. Okay. That's doable, right? 50 letters a week? Okay. 160 leads, about 13 leads per month, about a 6% response rate. Is that okay?
That's great.
Absolutely. And I always get, there's no way. Yes, way. And the reason that we get these kind of response rates is because of the criteria that we are using. So, for example, say the out-of-state owner mailing, then within that, there are specific criteria that we use to hone it in to find the most highly qualified sellers in that group. That's why we get the response rates that we get. How many folks could use an extra 13 really highly motivated sellers every month? Anybody? Yeah, absolutely. We ended up buying 10 of those properties because we got to pick and choose what we wanted to do. Total cash and equity, $523,000. That okay? Yes?
Yes.
Now, I will tell you that there is a little caveat there, and the caveat is simply this. You have to put the key in the ignition to start the motor. Once you start the motor, direct mail marketing is a machine that will bring you deal after deal after deal after deal after deal, no matter what your market is doing. Back in the early days, remember when everybody was doing pre-foreclosures and short sales and all of that stuff? And during that whole period of time, all those other poor sellers were not getting paid attention to at all. And we made a ton of deals through that time. And so we've always, it's just a really stable way for you to get more deals done. The other thing is that you're doing repetitive mailings. You are following up with semi-motivated sellers. The longer you implement the direct mail campaigns, the higher the response rates continue to get. So you're constantly investing in your future. So not only are you getting deals coming in today, but you are constantly seeding for future deals. Does that make sense? Yes? Okay. Total mailing costs, $2,300. Net profit, $521,000. All right. Yes, $2,300 in mailing costs.
Do you want to come back on the slide?
So 2,500 letters, 160 leads, 10 properties. And by the way, we track everything, and I want you to do the same thing. When you're doing your direct mail campaigns, I want you to track. What is the response? How many deals are you buying? You know, how many responses did you get? How many were bad addresses? I want you to be tracking all of that all the time, because then you can figure out where your money is going to go to bring you in even more deals.
Just use an ordinary Excel to do that?
Louder. Louder.
You used an ordinary Excel to do your tracking?
No, I use a specific software program in my business. We'll talk about that in a little bit. All right. Let's talk about compiling other types of mailing lists, okay? All of this, by the way, for those of you who already own my Marketing Magic system, all of this is already in there for you, so you have all of this. Death notices. I like working with the obituaries. Do me a favor, though. You cannot use a letter that says, hey, I know so-and-so died. Do you want to sell the house? And I learned that sort of firsthand, knowing that I was doing it right. We use a more generic type of a letter for that particular mailer. Okay, we're buying houses in this particular area, blah, that sort of thing. When my mom passed away in 2015, I was getting letters that were saying, hey, I see your mom died. Do you want to sell the house? I sat down and I wrote every single one of them a letter back telling them how terrible their marketing was and how they should be doing it right, just because it made me mad. So all this time, I knew I was doing that right. divorces, those are really good leads. Marriage notices, again, they get married, he owns a home, she owns a home, and they want to sell one or both and buy one of their very own. Really good leads that nobody else is thinking about. Eviction filings, liens and judgments, bankruptcy, condemned houses. How many people are actively working with code enforcement in your business? Anybody? Good girl. No, hardly anyone. I'll give you a hint. One of the reasons that Vina brings in female speakers, the way that you get to code enforcement's heart, they really, really like cookies. We bring them cookies every month. We bring all of our vendors some kind of treat every month. And code enforcement wants to see houses fixed up as much as you do. And if you create the relationship, they will call you. And then here's where it gets even funnier with code enforcement. We will put signs, not we, but we hire people to do this now, of course. But we'll put signs out, like over a weekend, and we'll like plaster an area. And if we don't get to them fast enough, sometimes code enforcement beats them to us. And her name is Patricia. And Patricia will call my husband, Jay, and she'll go, Jay, get your butt in here and get your signs picked up before I get caught. They're in my office. Yeah, so, yeah, if you create the relationship, they will bring you deals. All right, so condemned house. New homeowners. So they move into a house. 5 or 6 months later, they find out they can't afford the mortgage. Good deals there, too. Absentee owners, of course. Delinquent taxes, of course. Delinquent tax list is very easy to get. Tax collector's office all day long, no problem. Okay, code enforcement we talked about. Driving for dollars. We still drive for dollars. Get in the convertible, put the top down, and make some deals. I like that. Okay, so these are just some other types of ideas that we're also doing. There's a ton of stuff out there. That's why I'm telling you to think about what your demographic is, because I'm just giving you a ton of ideas here, aren't I? Yes?
Yes.
Yeah. This is a box that, these are mailers that I like to use sometimes. They're like a buck and a quarter each to go out, but if there's a really cool house that I really like a vacant house, for example, and I skip traced it and I got the address for the seller, that one looks like priority. And this one has a letter that goes with it. It says choice deal on the front of the box. And then we put with the header of the letter is let us make you a sweet deal. And then we go through and explain, you know, depending on what like if it's a vacant house, for example, then we target that particular problem and address that in the letter. So these two boxes are really, really effective. So that's something else that we use. If you come to my booth and you see me in the next couple of days, I brought a lot of different kinds of samples of different marketing that we do in our business. So if you want to come back and come over and take a peek, help yourself. All right, so using bird dogs to find leads. Mortgage brokers, definitely a good way to find leads. Private lenders. If you're working with private lenders, do you think you're the only person that they're loaning money to? Not likely, okay? We have picked up deals from our private lenders more than once. We actually had a gentleman, we bought 3 houses in one deal because he foreclosed on one of his other borrowers. And we ended up buying those 3 houses from him. So your private lenders will bring you deals as well. Vendors. So handyman, your roofer, pest control, cleaning service, the cable guy, your pool service. My roofer brings me at least 2 deals a year because they're putting a new roof on it so they can get it sold. Hey, Kath, you might want to call these people. So this is another really good way for you to find leads. The best way to find leads is to open your mouth and flap your lips and let people know what you do for a living. Okay, the more people that know what you do for a living, the more deals you're going to make. Okay, all right. Okay, mailman. Oh, you can get all great leads from your mailman. You got to create that relationship. Wholesalers. My wholesalers always bring me more deals. So I'm wholesaling a property. One of my favorite wholesalers is Andy. Andy will go by the property, take a look at it, make sure it's something that he wants. And then he'll come back to me and go, okay, yeah, let's go ahead and get that one under contract. But hey, you know, while I was over there, I saw this one, and this one. Could you see if we could get those under contract and see if we can, you know, see if you can find those sellers and see if we can get those deals done? Because Andrew doesn't want to find deals. He wants them laid in his lap, which is cool. So we do a lot like that. So he brings me more leads, and then if I get those under contract, I know right where they're going. So wholesalers are really good. Utility companies, family and friends, co-workers, neighbors, okay? Your sellers. I had a seller bring me 3 deals. She deeded her house to us for the balance of the mortgage. And then, because she was going back to Massachusetts, she was done with Florida, she didn't want to be here anymore. Right now, I don't want to be here anymore kind of seller. She deeded the house to us. And then 2 more of her friends, they wanted to leave and go back to Massachusetts with her. So they ended up deeding us their homes as well. Yeah, so your sellers are another really good resource for you to find some great deals. Okay. Now, working with realtors to create some deals. How many realtors do I have in the room today? Fabulous. A lot. Wow. That's really cool. I'm still seeing cameras and phones going up taking pictures. Can we please put them in your pockets? Guys, thank you. Okay. Expired listing. These are some of the things that your realtor should be doing for you. Remember I told you earlier that there were a ton of things your realtor should be doing. Expired listings. Old MLS listings that are more than 90 days old. Listings with keywords. Handyman special. Fixer-upper. Seller motivated. Fire sale. Needs TLC. Bring offers. I had a deal that my realtor brought to me about a year ago. And in the header of the listing, it said, fire sale. And everybody thought the house had burned. And all she was trying to do was, I need it sold quickly. So we ended up buying that house because everybody else thought it burned. It didn't. She was just trying to get it sold quickly. So those are some really good words, key words, that your realtor should be looking for. Wholesalers. Your realtors know lots of folks that do wholesaling. They can spot specific deals on the MLS that you might like. We have two realtors that have been working with us for more than 15 years. And so every week or so, hey, here's one that just looks like it really fits your parameters. And they'll send them over to us. They will bring you deals before they are listed. So that's always good. Realtors can send you specialized lists each day, and I do that. So I have, for example, my realtor sends me lists of properties for sale in specific subdivisions that I like to buy in. He sends me deals for houses that are zero to 250,000. Another list I get is 500,000 and up, because I like those luxury properties. So they can specifically create these lists. And once they create the list for you, it's automatic. It just drops to you every day. She doesn't have to do anything else. So that's something else that we do. Just another way to get free leads coming in. Realtors can make multiple offers for you. We use our realtors to sell properties for us. And then you can have access to MLS to research comps and deals. And that's always a big help. So these are some of the reasons that you need to work with a realtor to help you to create more deals in your business. All right, so creating deals from vacant houses. We touched on this a little bit. They're easy to locate. You're going to start developing an eye for these properties. We're coming up on Christmas time, like next month. Oh, my goodness. And I don't know about you, but we take the grandkids light looking. So, like, you know, looking at all the cool houses. We always have a pad and a pen in the car with us, because now you got, like, pretty decorated, pretty decorated, pretty decorated. No lights on. No car in the driveway. The grass is really high. The snow hasn't been shoveled. Whatever. Vacant house. That goes on our list. So we're always looking for vacant houses when we go out light looking. Just another idea for you. They are free leads for you. Okay, no expense to finding these leads. Vacant properties are an untouched market. Okay, there are so many investors that just don't bother, and they're really good leads. Usually the seller is motivated to sell. The more difficult it is for you to find the owner of a vacant house, the better a deal you're going to make. It's a very simple mailing, very simple to research the owner. Worst comes to worst, we use the skip tracer. Mail the letter, even if the mailing address and the site address are the same, because it still may get forwarded or someone is coming and picking up mail. Leave a copy of the letter or a flyer at the property with a handwritten note on it. And then go back and check, because sometimes the neighbors take them because they need to sell their house too. So what I'll end up doing is rewrite and put it back up on the wall or on the house. Give the seller multiple ways to contact you. Folks, the more ways you give a seller to contact you, the more of them are going to. because you need to meet them at whatever their comfort level is. So give them a mailing address. Give them an email address. Give them a phone number. Give them a fax number. Give them that website address if you have it. The more ways you give a seller to contact you, the more of them are going to. That's just a real simple, easy tip that will bring you a lot more leads or a lot more responses. Other ways to find leads. Auction houses. We do a lot of deals with auction houses. So for example, you know the auction you go to on like Friday or Saturday night and they're selling stuff? Okay, does anybody gone to one of those auctions? Yeah, that's better because a lot of times like, people look at me like, what? Okay, where do you think they get the stuff? A lot of times it's estates and they will consign all the stuff from inside a house. They sell it at the auction. They take their percentage and they write a check to the seller. To the seller. But then there's a house sitting empty. So what I've done is I have created relationships with the owners of auction houses. I worked in the auction industry for about 15 years, so I know that industry inside out and backwards. So I created relationships with the owners of the auction companies. And when they have one of these deals come to them, they will call me and give me the information on the people and on the house. If I do the deal on the house, I write them a referral check. Okay? So that's another good way to find some deals. So the way that you do that to find these auctions, you go to auctionzip.com, auctionzip.com. A screen will come up and ask you for your zip code. You put that in there and click, and then it will bring up a calendar with all of the auctions every night in your area. Click through them and find the ones that sell stuff. And you'll see on the top of the page the auctioneer's name, phone number, license number, address is all at the top. If you are going to contact the auctioneers, do not do it on the day or night of the auction. They won't talk to you. They're too busy getting set up. But any other time. And that's how you can create relationships with the owners of these auction companies. That's a freebie for you. That's a golden nugget. Estate sales and yard sales. Every time we stop, you know, we see an estate sale or yard sale, give them our business card. We bought a house from someone who was trying to sell enough stuff at a yard sale to make their next mortgage payment. And we ended up buying that house. Happens a lot. Storage units. At the storage facility, there is a board where you can put up flyers, and we use the type that have the phone number, the pull tab on the bottom of them, so that's the type that we use. Junk haulers, code enforcement, I thought I had that in there twice. Homeowners associations, if there are subdivisions that you like to buy in and they have a homeowners association, create the relationship with the homeowners association. Because when you buy houses and you fix them up and you sell them, you are increasing values in that subdivision. So Homeowners Association really likes us. Craigslist, Facebook, FSBO signs. Do a class at a library, okay, or a service club. Call the Calling on Ads campaign. So we have one person who on Sunday night calls the for sale by owner and the for rent by owner property. She has a script that she fills out for each one of those folks. And then on Monday morning, she sends them over to me. She'll write little notes on the top. Don't waste your time. Call him now. Another really good way for you to get more leads coming in. She gets paid by the sheet that she fills out. Okay? Real estate clubs, obviously. Your real estate club's a great way to find new leads. And then put lumpy mail in some of your mailings. So we use pens, candy, in our mailers. So, and then those mailing boxes, if it's something that I really, really want. Pens are really good because you have that response mechanism that you want that seller to fill out for you. And if you use a flat pen in there, now they have the device to use to fill that out. So that's a piece of lumpy mail that we'll use on specific mailings. Okay. Again, once we start working together today, all of this information is in my system for you. Flyers and door hangers. Laundromats. I don't know why we get so many leads from laundromats, but we do. It's just a real, I don't know why, but we put, you know, on the public boards that they have, we just stick our flyers up there. Door to door, restaurants, placemats, we do that. Pizzas or food delivery, here's another freebie for you. Can I borrow that for a minute? Is that yours? Can I borrow it?
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Imagine this. I'm going to put this down for a minute. Okay. After I get done throwing it on the floor. Okay. Imagine this as having four parts. Front, back, inside page, right? All right. So what you're going to do is you're going to create a relationship with pizza parlors and other businesses. And you create this piece. For example, with the pizza franchise that I work with, he has three locations. We do a piece just like this, all right? Pizza parlor's menu is on the front. When you open it up, my ad is right here. And then we sell these other two ads, and my ad is free. So this is a piece that you're sending out thousands of every month for absolutely Zippo. Is that cool? Yes?
Yes.
Yeah. That's another freebie for you. All right. Storage units, we talked about. Unemployment office. They have public boards at the unemployment office, another really good way to get leads. Relocation services, home improvement stores, grocery stores, vacant houses. Houses that just look interesting to you. You know, maybe it looks vacant. Maybe it's just a cool house that you'd really like to own. I'm going to write them a letter. I really like that house. I do that. Subdivisions that you want to buy in. Okay, so these are just some extra ways to use flyers and door hangers to get new deals. So we have people that will lay flyers door to door for us. We pay them for that. Okay, all right. The calling on ads campaign. So let me just cover this really quick. So they call on the for sale by owner and the for rent by owner ads. Do not call on realtor ads, okay? Use a specific telephone script for each type. When you invest in my system today, this whole program is in there with everything that you need. So you'll call on ads from the newspaper, Facebook, neighborhood newspapers, Craigslist, for sale by owners, okay? Use the scripts to call on FSBOs that you drive by. So if you drive by a for sale by owner, take a picture of it and add that into your lead list. You'll reach all kinds of sellers with this system. And these are folks who want to sell. Call between 5 p.m. and 9 p.m. on Sunday night. That's when the highest number of folks are at home getting ready for work the next day. How do you think I know that? Because we test and we track every single thing that we do. Get someone else doing it for you ASAP. Pay them by the completed script. And they'll email the scripts over to you on Monday morning, is the way I do it. Another really good way for you to find some leads. All right. Creating your mailing piece. Gently touch your seller with a solution to their problem within the body of your letter. Keep it simple. Grammar doesn't have to be perfect. Keep it simple. Keep it personal. Use simple language. Don't fill your letter with the big words of the industry jargon that we're accustomed to using. Like, I can take your house subject to the mortgage. Your seller's not going to have any idea what that means. Okay. Use paragraphs and spacing so there's a break between your thoughts. Use a font and a font size that's easy to read. I generally use 12 or 14, and I use Times New Roman, okay? So it's nice and easy for them to read. Make sure that you include that response mechanism and make sure that you ask for photographs. Repeat your mailings. And then use the letters that I have created for you. I don't want you out there going out there and recreating the wheel. This is the love letter. I've had it with the heels. I'm kicking these off. I'm done. Call me Vina. I haven't worn heels in a couple months, and I hate them. All right, that's better. I'm shorter, but that's better. This is the love letter. We use this with every letter going out to a seller, through the realtor for sure. And then, like some out-of-state owners, we use the love letter. Now, a couple of things about the love letter that have come up. You know, it only takes a couple people to ruin everything. I've been using the love letter for years. You cannot go political. You cannot go racial in your love letter. There's actually been, like, big articles about it, which is so weird because I thought I was the only one doing the love letter. Anyway, so here's the love letter. It will be different for every deal you're working on, obviously, but this is an example of a deal. Thank you for the opportunity to look at your home. We understand that the offer that we're making is below your asking price for this property, but we would really love to own this home, and we would be responsible for all the repairs, so there would be nothing more for you to do to the home. Your lovely home has lots of potential, and we think it could be nicely updated and perfect for us. We would like you to consider our offer based on the following. The first thing the home would need is a roof. We would not be able to get insurance without it, so that's an immediate expense for us. It also appears that the electrical box may have some issues which would need to be looked at. In addition, in all likelihood, the home will need to be treated for termites since we've not seen any evidence of termite treatment. The kitchen needs to be updated along with some newer appliances. Portions of the home need to be painted inside and out. The bathrooms need to be updated. We would also like to make that den into an actual third bedroom. These are all expenses that we are willing to take care of. The water heater and the air conditioner appear to be in really good shape, so that's a big plus. We really love the large and open yard. We did notice, though, that there's no garage and limited parking on the street. We're cash buyers. We'll be buying the home in as-is condition, so you don't have to do any repairs to it, and we can close as soon as you would like. You don't have to worry about someone who's trying to get a conventional loan having any issues with the home. And we're ready to close when you are. We think this home is wonderful, and we thank you for looking at our offer. We're hoping to be able to purchase this lovely home. I can't tell you how many homes that we have bought that other investors made offers on because we did this. The way you write a love letter is you sandwich your comments. Good. We love it. We love it. We love it. It needs this. We love it. We love it. We love it. It needs this. We love it. We love it. We love it. It needs this. Okay? So you sandwich those comments so you're not like hurting their feelings and they're really understanding where you're coming from as far as the offer that you're going to make. Okay? Is that a great idea? Yes? You will steal so many deals from your investors using this one little trick. Okay. My realtor has made many offers for us, just for an example, using the love letter, and comes back and tells us there were three other offers on this property and you guys got it. It's a really, really good tool. My realtor now, anytime he makes an offer, where's my love letter? Where's my love letter? Okay, so this is a super, super good tool. And obviously, it's different for every deal that you're doing because everything is going to be a little different. So that's another tactic that we use. Key components to put in place in your business. Caller ID, voicemail, 24-hour recorded message. Okay, email address, mailing address, title agent, mortgage brokers, hard money lenders, private lenders, wholesale buyers, your real estate attorney, real estate broker, appraiser, a comp program, a surveyor, or what other vendors are needed to close where you are. So for us, it's like a surveyor, an inspection, and a termite. Okay? Insurance agent, education, and that credibility kit. Okay, so these are the key components that you need to create a successful real estate investing business. Okay. All right. Credibility kit. I told you we'd get there. I wasn't sure where it is. I knew it was in there somewhere. I usually don't have this much time with a group. This is fantastic to really be able to share with you guys some really good tools. Credibility kit. If you are not using a credibility kit in your business, you are missing the boat, folks. Okay, so what is a credibility kit? Have any of you guys had someone come out to your house to give you a bid on work, windows, floors, roof maybe? And they have the book that they bring with them, right? And it has their license in the front, and then it has like before and after photos of like, that's their credibility kit. and you're going to have the same thing. This is a huge tool for you in your business. Why do I need to have one? To steal deals from every other investor out there. Okay? And to find more private lenders, frankly. What goes in my credibility kit? We'll cover that in just a second. How do I use it? Let me give you a quick example, all right? I was driving down the road one day. This has been 5 years ago, maybe. Driving down the road. And I drive past this house, and like, there's all these cars parked. I was like, gee, wonder what's going on there. And there's a sign in the front yard that says, for sale by owner, $59,000 today only. And the paint is still dripping on the sign. Kid you not. So I thought, okay. So I pulled over. And of course, now I keep contracts. I have a little kit in my car. I have contracts in my car. I have my credibility kit in my car. I have business cards. I have flyers in my car. Okay, so I keep a kit in the car. You need to keep a kit in your car. Okay, so I pull over and I walk up and I'm like, what's the deal? And he's selling the house today. The guy is sitting in a chair in the carport, and there are all these investor people walking around the house. They have their like little clipboards, and they're walking around the house, and they're like writing all these notes and everything like that. When you get to a point in your real estate investing business, a rehab is $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000. You don't have to calculate every single nickel. Okay? For one, you're wasting your time. All right? So I walk around the house, and so I walked around the outside of the house, and I'm calculating in my brain, and I walk through the inside of the house, and I'm calculating in my brain, and while I'm walking around, I called my appraiser really quick, and I said, hey, Jerry, do me a favor, give me comps on this house now. I need them now. So he called me back about 10 minutes later, and he goes, Kath, in the condition that the house is in, it's worth X, and by the time you get it fixed up, it'll be worth this. Cool. Thanks, Jerry. So now I know what the house is worth, and I figured out what my rehab's going to be. So $59,000 was a really good number. $59,000 was a beautiful, beautiful number for that he was asking. No problem at all. Didn't have to negotiate a dime. So this is good. So I walk over to the guy, and I said, okay, what do I have to do to buy it? I'm ready. I'm ready to buy it right now. What makes you think I think that you have the money to buy this house? Okay? Wants to sell his house. Poopy attitude. So I said, hold on one second. Let me just go run to my car real quick. So I ran to my car, and I got my credibility kit. And I opened up my credibility kit, and I said, sir, here you go. Here are referrals from my title company and attorneys and other sellers that I've worked with. Here's befores and afters of deals that we have done. Here's some personal reference letters. Here you go. And so he's flipping through the book. And then he picks up his phone. And he goes back to the beginning of the book. And first one he picked was the title company. I always love it when he picks Kathy. And he calls Kathy on the phone. Can this lady really close on this house? Absolutely, sir. Not a problem at all. We've closed a ton of deals with this lady. How can I help you? And so he hangs up, calls one of the private lenders. Can this lady really close on this house? Absolutely, and I'm more than willing to give her the money to do it. And so he's calling people in this credibility kit. Kid you not, sitting in his driveway, in his chair, all the other investors are writing notes. And I'm stealing the house out from under them. So he said, okay, I'll sell it to you. So I went back out to my car and I got a contract and I sat down and I did that contract real quick. He signs the contract. He goes, the only way I'm going to sell this house to you is if you make a $5,000 deposit by 5 o'clock this afternoon. It's like 1. So that's no problem. I can do that. No big deal. So I just took money off a credit card, threw it in the, sent it over to the title company, and then I just put it back when I was done with it. No biggie. And so we get all that done. And then the guy goes, okay, I need one more thing from you. I said, what? I mean, he's got this really nasty attitude. I said, what? He goes, get rid of all those people. Seriously. So it's like, okay, I bought it. See ya. While you were wasting time, I bought it. While you were making all those notes, I bought it. And I got rid of all those people for him. That's why you need a credibility kit. Okay? It's a really super good tool. Anytime you're making an offer to someone who lives out of state or out of your area, they don't know you from anything. So make sure that you include a mini credibility kit. So in the mini credit, okay, let's one thing at a time. All right, so what goes into your mini credibility kit? I knew it was there. Your business card. Your title agent's business card, or real estate attorney, whoever's going to close it for you, that person. Your real estate attorney business card, an overview about you and your business, just a real short, I've been in the business for 20 years, blah, blah, blah. It's something that you're going to have as a standard. You're going to write it once, and then it'll just go, you know, when you're putting your mini credibility kit together, it'll go in there. Reference letters from sellers, so you can just put a letter or two in there from sellers. Personal reference letters, letters from vendors and lenders, your membership with Better Business Bureau, if you have that, if you belong to any service clubs, that sort of thing, you know, anything that's going to kind of impress them. Okay, remember, these people don't know you from anything. They need to know you can close on that deal. Does that make sense? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Here's a letter that I had a seller do for me, okay? This was Rosemary. To whom it may concern, for the past 2 years, I had received letters from J&K Properties. Finally, this year, I gave them a call just to see what they were all about. Due to the illness of my husband, I decided to sell to J&K. I was so impressed by their business-like and friendly manner and would not hesitate to do business with them again. Rosemary Doyle, and she's from Greenville, Michigan. Okay? So when you're at the closing table with a seller, and you ask the seller, can I just get a letter? Can I get a note from you about, you know, was your experience with me positive? Oh, absolutely. And you know what they're going to say? Can you just write it for me and I'll sign it? Okay, that one I didn't write. So we just write something really nice about ourselves and the seller signs them. Seriously. And that's how you build your credibility kit with the sellers. Okay, that one Rosemary really did. I asked her after the selling and after they closed on the property, and she mailed it to me. Okay. All right, so when should I start implementing direct mail? Now, and right now would be really good. Couple of reasons for that. We are getting into a market that is going to start bringing you more opportunities to get some deals. That's number one. Number two, we are moving into the holiday season, folks. During the holiday season, people are opening everything. Okay? They're getting cards and letters from friends and family that they haven't heard from in a year, and they're opening everything and reading it. And they probably need to get that house closed before the end of the year, you know, or for the holidays or whatever, and they need that money. The other thing is, again, I don't know where any of you live, but in our particular case, our property tax bills dropped today, and they have to be paid by March, okay? If you have a seller who just inherited a property, they don't want a property anymore, whatever it is, and they get another tax bill to pay, these are really, really good leads for you folks. Some of you get two bites at the apple because yours drop like half at one part of the year and half at another part of the year. That must be nice. Okay? So that's another really good reason. You need to get your marketing implemented now. The other reason that I want you to start getting your marketing implemented right now is because I want you to go into 2023 being super, super successful in your business, finding more deals, finding more sellers, and getting some profits coming in so you can start doing the things that you are dreaming of. Okay, so right now would be really, really good. All right, so let's talk about some tips to create your machine. Decide which direct mail you want campaign you want to implement first. There are 15 of them to choose from. The first one I would like you to do is the attorney letter. Get the list. I provide resources for the list brokers for you, so all of that is a done for you kind of thing. Create the letters. Neatly address the envelopes. And while you're neatly addressing envelopes, make sure that the names are correct. My last name is Kennybrook. I get letters to Mrs. Kennybrook all the time. Garbage. Okay? Don't even open them. Neatly address the envelopes. Stuff, add the postage, and mail them. Go to the mailbox. Get responses from sellers. Get your seller calls and emails, because you'll get lots of those. Buy some houses. Hire somebody to do all of this work for you. The more quickly you get the minutia out of your lives, the more deals you're going to make. Repeat your mailings. Make some money and add new lists as you go. So start with one list, get good at that one, then add another, then add another. We generally have between 3 and 4 different direct mail campaigns going out at any particular time. Where do I get the list? That's another question I get a lot. The first thing that you can do is go to your property appraiser or property assessor's office, whatever that's called where you live, and ask them for it. Based on the criteria that I provide for you for each one of the direct mail campaigns. Okay? So that's one way to get the list. I also provide resources for the list brokers for you, no matter where you live across the country and across Canada. All right, so when you begin doing your direct mail campaigns, I provide the resources for the list brokers for you, no matter where you live in the country and across Canada. So I don't know if we have any Canadians in here or not. All right, keys to your success or failure when you are marketing. Number one, you need to target the right prospect. And we've already talked about that. We have 15 of those for you. Make it easy for the sellers to respond. Folks, the more ways you give a seller to respond to you, the more of them are going to, and the higher your response rate is going to get. Use the right language and the right letter. Each one of the direct mail campaigns has different letter, different language. Okay? Ah, what did I do? Okay. Use a proven list. You need to use a list that you know works. Use a proven system. Don't be out there trying to recreate the wheel. And be consistent with your marketing. You can do a little bit or you can do a lot, but you have to have your marketing in place at all times. Take the time to follow up with semi-motivated sellers. Folks, if you take the time to follow up with semi-motivated sellers, you are going to do a ton more deals. Because just because a seller says to you today, I just don't know, it's because they have heartstrings attached to that house and maybe they're not ready. Or if they say, are you out of your mind? I can't take that offer. Give them time. Their situation will change. And what will end up happening is you will end up doing those deals. Okay? Because those sellers will come back to you. So you need to make sure that you're following up with these semi-motivated sellers. About 40% of our total business comes from the follow-up with the semi-motivated sellers. Okay?
How much?
About 40% of our total deals come from the follow-up with semi-motivated sellers. Because just because they're not motivated today doesn't mean they won't be motivated next week or next month. The other thing, you paid the money, you already have them in your funnel. Why would you waste your money by not following up with that seller until they say no? Okay, so that's real important. Response rates from sequential mailings. These are mine and my students throughout the country. First mailings on the average, 5 to 6%. Second mailings, 7 to 10%. To the same list. Folks, residual is key. When you gently touch your seller with your message, just like Warren, you saw that letter, right? That said, I've gotten a few letters from you over the last year. Apparently you've been in business for a while. You are creating a relationship. You're creating credibility with those sellers. Okay, so. I can't hear it. What?
Do you use the same text?
Yes. Yes, good question, actually. Every time you mail the letter out, you are mailing the same letter every time. Here's the reasoning behind that. We, again, testing, tracking, everything we do in our business. You are reaching folks who are like middle-aged and elderly, okay, for part of it. And when they see the same thing over and over, oh, that's that same person. Oh, that's Kathy. If you mail a different letter 30 or 60 days from now, they're not going to equate the two. They're not going to relate them. Okay, so we always use the same letter every time we repeat our mailings. And thank you for asking that question because that was something I needed to cover. All right, so here are some letters from some students throughout the country. Here's Marilyn. This is Ronnie. He mailed out 35 letters to the pre-foreclosure mailing. This is my second testimonial. I tried another aspect of your comprehensive marketing system. This time I mailed to pre-foreclosure, sent out 35 letters, got 2 phone calls, put together 1 deal. House needed no work except to clean the carpets. So I listed it for a retail sale. Equity, at this point it wasn't sold. It is sold now. His profit on that deal was $132,000. That okay?
Yes.
All right. This is Sohn. Sohn sold this house did this deal in the middle of the pandemic. Not a big deal. He's from Oklahoma. He bought the house for $10,000, wholesaled it for $14,000. His total profit was $4,000. Paid for his entire marketing magic system and then more money to put back in his marketing so he could do more deals. And he's done 2 more deals since this, since I got this letter from him. Okay. Is that okay? I mean, even a small one's a good one. This one, this is Stan, and Stan is in Kentucky, and I don't know what you guys in Kentucky are doing, but I had to double, triple check this one to believe it. When I put these letters up here for you, I will tell you that they have been tracked. I call the title companies. I make sure that any of these are real before I ever bring them out for you. So that's why I'm saying I called and double checked this one. Kathy, wanted to take a moment to let you know about the success I've had using your marketing lead generation system. I bought the Marketing Magic Package after you did the webinar for the Wealth Builder folks earlier this year. We initially mailed out 50 letters to multifamilies just to test the list and received 6 responses. I have purchased 2 duplexes and 1 fourplex out of those 6 responses. That's nuts. Out of 50 letters. Didn't use a dime of my own money, only owner financing and money partners into the 3 properties, and I've achieved great positive cash flow. We've continued to do mailing since then. We're ramping up to mail 100 letters a week by the end of the month. Is that nuts? I mean, that's like a really, really good response. And I called. He was telling the truth. All right. This is David. David is in Texas. My initial mailing... 600 letters, 19 responses, 4 deals to the out-of-state owner mailing. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Yeah? Good. His initial mailing was 600 letters to out-of-state owners with values under 100,000 and deeds prior to 1992. I'm assuming an old FHA qualifying loan. Boy, you don't see those anymore. Buying a note in default with a value of $11,000. House is worth $50,000. I'm buying 2 others with $60,000 in equity. One has had the same tenant for 5 years. Not bad for one little mailing. Never have I had results like this before, and I've been doing mailings for 4 years. Kathy, thanks again. Dave Lunsford, his total profit on those deals was $130,000. That all right? This is Peter Conte. Does anybody know who Peter Conte is? He is a trainer in Colorado. He has been out there for many, many years. When it comes to knowing how to find motivated sellers without spending much time or effort, Kathy Kennebrook is the absolute master. She knows exactly what to do, and her marketing magic system shows you step by step exactly how to do it. Peter Conte. Peter does mostly commercial. So that was cool. I appreciated that. This is Jeremy. Jeremy is adorable. Every time he does another mailing or does another deal, he sends me another email. So I have a whole file of just Jeremy emails. So this was back in June. Just wanted to give you an update after my first mailing of 100 letters to out-of-state owners. 2 calls, 2 appointments to see property next week, and 2 responses mailed back to me. One woman wrote 2 whole pages. I couldn't believe it. Thanks again. June 25th, same mailing. I've gotten 6 more responses to that same mailing. This is amazing. I'm getting a ton of information with each lead coming in. Thank you so much. Is that awesome? Yes?
Yes.
The responses are out there. This one is Scott. Scott is in Florida. Just wanted to let you know how much I appreciate, I loved this letter, this was great, how much I appreciate your putting this system together. You forgot one thing though, the word warning. Follow the instructions and the system will work. I did exactly what you said and to do, and in a short time had my first duplex under contract, which I wholesaled for a profit of $10,000. While only a small wholesale, it demonstrates that this is just so easy to do. The most incredible part are the leads. I'm just sending a minimum of 100 letters per week, and the leads are coming in by fax, email, and mail, just like you said they would. I can't believe how easy the system is to use and how effective it's been to increasing my profit. Kathy, you're amazing. Scott D. I am so humbled every time I get these from my students all over the country. It's just awesome. All right, so do I have to do all the work? Absolutely not. Again, the more minutiae you get out of your lives, the more deals you're going to make. So let's talk about marketing on autopilot. Number one, you need to select the target direct mail campaign that you would like to begin with, because each one of you has different goals, different dreams, different desires. You live in different parts of the country, and so forth. So you're going to pick the direct mail campaign that you would like to start with, along with the attorney letter, because I really want you to do that one. Have a part-time person do the work for you. Hand them my system. It will train them for you. All of the direct mail campaigns stand alone. Each chapter is one complete direct mail campaign. So you go in there, for example, the out-of-state owner mailing, you pull that particular direct mail campaign, give it to the person who's going to do your mailings for you, and you're ready to rock. Okay? Again, it's super, super simple. Mail the letters. Okay? That gives you the starting point as to when those letters went out and when you're going to start tracking your success or your responses. Start working on your responses. Create some deals. Okay? Now, does that sound incredibly simple? Yes? I have made it even easier for you. I have created relationships with companies who will do all of the work for you. All you have to do is provide them with the letter and the list, and they will do everything else. Whether you want to mail out 25 letters a week, 50 letters a week, 100 letters a week, 500 letters a month, I don't want you to get all crazy and do like 5,000 letters and send them out all at one time. You would not be able to handle the responses. And you would lose money and lose deals because you wouldn't be able to handle all the responses. Okay, because my letters are so targeted, the responses that you get are from highly motivated sellers. If that seller is going to take 5 extra minutes to write about their property and give you all the information that you need in order to do the deal, you already have a really motivated seller. Does that make sense? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. This is Daryl. So this was so great. I finally got to meet Kathy in person. I studied her program extensively. To date, all of my marketing and all of my deals were a direct result of Kathy's program. To date, all of my marketing and all of my deals were a direct result of Kathy's program. Daryl. Let me tell you about Daryl. Daryl is retired military. He was in for like 10 years, I think. He bought my system on my website. I never met him. He has never heard me speak anywhere. So I'm in an event in Washington, D.C., very large event like this one. I got the whole room. I got them all. And I'm in the back of the room, and I'm waiting for my introduction. There are two rules when a promoter brings a speaker to stage. One is that they have to give you a really, really good intro. And two, they're not supposed to make the guru cry. Those are the two rules. So I'm in the back of the room. I'm in Washington, D.C., huge event. I'm waiting for the promoter to come to stage to introduce me. Daryl comes to the front of the stage to introduce me. I don't know him from anything. I'm like, uh-oh, I don't like this. I don't know what's going on. So I'm in the back of the room. And Daryl starts talking about how he bought my system online. He bought it off of my website. He never had the first conversation with me. He never emailed me any questions. I've never heard of Daryl. I don't handle my website sales. Someone else does. He bought the system. He implemented the system. He read it through. He did what he was supposed to. He followed the directions. He did, you know, exactly what he was supposed to do. He started creating a ton of deals. He created over $1 million in deals in 1 year, and he was voted the DC Real Estate Investor of the Year for doing over $1 million in deals. And then the guru bawled. So now I've got running mascara down my face and all of that when I hit the front of the stage. Folks, I want you to be a Daryl. I want you to implement the system. I want you to read the directions. I want you to start implementing your mailings. There is actually support that comes with my system. Daryl never used any of that. Daryl created over $1 million of deals in 1 year using my system. Is that pretty amazing, yeah? So I want all of you to be a Daryl. I want you to just take the steps and get motivated and get out there and find the sellers. Daryl has two young children. That was his main cause for starting to get into real estate investing and start getting deals done, because he wanted to see his kids grow up. They're involved in sports. They're involved in all kinds of things. And that was his main objective when he invested in my system. So he is a protege, and I'm very, very, very proud of Daryl. Amazing, amazing guy. And I knew I couldn't do 3 hours without cracking. Okay. So that's Daryl. So let's talk about my combined results over the last 12 months. We mailed out 11,500 letters total, about 950 letters per month. Our numbers have dropped a little bit. So what I'm doing in my business, and one of the reasons that my system is so awesome, is because there's so much flexibility. You can do 10, 15, 20 deals a month now. You can bring that down to whatever number is more comfortable. You can do luxury properties. You can do rental properties. You can do mailings to the properties so that you can buy them without putting a bunch of money out of your pocket. So there's a lot of different things that you can do. So I am doing fewer mailings, fewer deals, way bigger paychecks. We are leaning totally in the luxury end at this point in time. 6.5% response rate overall. Approximately $86 for every single letter that left our office in cash and equity. My degree is in accounting. I can't help myself. Is that pretty good? Yes? Absolutely. All right, so I know the next question that is burning on your heart is, Kathy, how can I get on board so I can start making the same big profit that you do? And how can I get all of my money back on your system so there is no cost to me at all, plus over $9,800 in additional bonuses? I know I need to be one of the first 10 to invest in your system. Folks, I am making a very special offer to the first 10 people who get to the back of the room today. I will tell you that if you Google me, look on my website, you will not find this offer anywhere else. This is something that we do especially for OREA, for the National Summit. Okay, so system contents. All 15 of the direct mail campaigns with all the directions that you need. Complete directions to automate the system and get it into someone else's hands very quickly. All the letters and the info sheets for the sellers and the list brokers on USB. I did a complete rewrite of the system in December of 21. Okay, so the system has been completely rewritten. We updated everything. We went to the USB for all of the resources, all the letters, all the advertising pieces, all of that, to make it a lot simpler for you folks to use. There are 24 additional marketing techniques and samples of all of them. So everything that I covered earlier, all those additional marketing techniques, all the additional letters, all of that is in the system for you. There's an audio set and the tracking sheet charts to go with it. All of that is on USB as well. Kathy Kennebrook's Magic Seller Phone Conversations. This is another piece that that I have in the system. Because one of the things that you'll find when you start working for me, I'm really cognizant of my students' needs. And so one of the things I was still getting was, Kath, I'm still having problems pre-screening sellers. And so what we basically did was we went back into the studio, pulled real deals with real sellers, both motivated and non-motivated, for all of the direct mail campaigns. So you can hear what those conversations sounded like. At the end of each deal, I analyze the deal for you as to why we did or didn't buy it, and if we did, what the exit strategy was and why. Folks, if you're just starting in the real estate investing business, this is a tool that you really need. If you are a seasoned investor and you're bringing new folks into your organization, this is the tool that you can give those folks to help them to learn to deal with sellers. Okay? All right. Now, these are some of the additional techniques. We went through some of this earlier. Signage, banners, yard signs, bus bench advertising, how to compile other types of mailing lists, exactly where to get them, all that we covered earlier. Buses and taxi cab ads, flyers, business cards, how to use vendors as bird dogs, Facebook ads, Craigslist ads, free announcements, how to get free press releases, how to use realtors, bulletins, and programs in your business, how to use code enforcement to bring you deals, how to use mortgage brokers and lenders as bird dogs, estate sales, auctions, wholesale buyers, how to use postcards to attract buyers into your funnel, okay? So that's another tool that you have, is to find buyers as well. How to find some private lenders. Cover internet marketing and advertorials and other unique marketing tools. Folks, this is the most complete marketing system you will ever get your hands on to find all of the deals you will ever need in your business. Okay? So your investment today is going to be only $1,997. I am offering a National RIA special today with a $500 discount for those first 10 folks, making your total investment only $1,497. Okay? All right. So you need to take action right now. The following bonuses of over $8,400 are for those first 10 folks who take action right now. And you can learn how to own the entire system at no cost to you whatsoever. So you need to get out of your seat. You need to go on to the back. I see that we already have sales going on back there. You need to go ahead and get out of your seat and be one of those first 10 people. So let's talk about the bonuses real quick. The first bonus you're going to receive is Kathy Kennebrook's 24-hour recorded message. This is a $149 value. You are also going to receive my $1 Million Resource Kit. It has a $500 value. In my personal opinion, it is absolutely priceless. This is where you're going to find the list brokers. This is where you're going to find information on the companies that will do the mailings for you. This is where you're going to find discounted pricing on everything you need for your business. And that's a $500 value. Pre-qualifying your dream team realtor. This is a $199 value. This was a system that we put together to help you to train the realtors to bring you deals and to help you to get properties sold. And that's a $199 value. Guerrilla tactics to improve your credit score. Not only will this help you to improve your own credit score, but this is a tool that you are going to provide to your tenant buyers, your lease option buyers. Every one of my lease option buyers gets this tool to help them to be able to figure out how to improve their credit and close on my house. Okay, so that's just, I'm all about giving you all of the tools that you need to be really, really successful. You're also going to receive my tenant referral program. Somebody asked me about that earlier. Folks, your tenants know stuff you would never know anything about. And so we use a tenant referral program. We send a letter to our tenants every 6 months telling them, if you send us a deal and we close on that deal, you get X off of your next month's rent. And X is whatever number you decide that it is. Okay, and so the tenant referral program is also included. That's a $99 value. There are audios in there. You're going to learn how to buy and sell properties inside your Roth IRA. You're going to learn how to use software in your business to follow up with semi-motivated sellers and find more deals and store your deals and have a place to keep all of your deals. You're going to learn about more no-nonsense strategies. So there's a bunch of really good stuff in those audios, and that's a $595 value. All of the system forms and all of the audios are on USB for you. That was an upgrade that we did last year, okay? All right. Are we doing okay so far? Yes? But wait, there's more. This is a consulting certificate that I offer. This is very special. I'm going to offer this to the first 10 folks today. This is a $5,000 value. Folks, you have 12 months to work with me directly by email to answer any marketing question that you might have as you're going along the way. Nobody else does that. Nobody else offers direct support like that to their students. I want you to be hugely, hugely successful. And that's a $5,000 value. The next bonus that you're also going to get is an entitlement certificate. You are going to receive a 30-minute consultation with my personal CPA. He is absolutely brilliant. He knows everything there is to know about real estate investing. He is a financial planner, absolutely brilliant man. That's a $250 value that you're also going to receive. You're going to receive the live auction boot camp DVD set. You're going to learn the auction process step by step. We go through the round robin auctions for you, how to create a successful round robin auction. It's an info-packed 4-DVD set. Watch it in the comfort of your own home. We have 10 of these available today. It's a $1,497 value. Awesome, awesome information. I also offer a free 30-day free look enrollment plan. Folks, give us an investment today of $1,497, knowing that if my system isn't every single thing I told you it was going to be here today, you have a total of 30 days to get it back to us. Okay, is that fair? Yes? Awesome. All right. So how many folks in the room would take my system if it was absolutely free? Anybody? Wow, I didn't hear any noise. How many folks would take it if it was absolutely free? That's better. I only want to work with happy, excited investors. Here's what I am going to offer. Folks, when you do a deal using one of my 15 direct mail campaigns over the next 12 months, folks, you have a full year to get this done. Send me a copy of your testimonial check, your testimonial letter, proof you did the deal, and a copy of your profit check, and I will refund your entire investment of $1,497, and you get to keep the system and all of the bonuses. Why would I? You need to get out of your chair and get to the back of the room. Okay, so go ahead and go on back. Why would I be dumb enough to do that? Because I want to see you be super, super, super successful. I want to work with each and every one of you in the room today, and I want to help you to get your marketing in place, to get your marketing going, to use all of the tools that I provide for you so that you can be super, super successful with your direct mail campaigns and with your marketing. If I had a me back years ago who was willing to give me my money back to do what I was supposed to do in the first place, I'd have jumped on that in a heartbeat. Okay? So...